Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining today's discussion. I'm Ami Copeland, the Executive Director here at Business Forward, and I'll be moderating our conversation today. Currently, all lines are in listen-only mode. We are pleased to once again welcome U.S. Trade Representative Michael Froman. He's here today to talk about an important report released yesterday by the United States International Trade Commission, an independent federal agency that analyzes the effects of the Trans-Pacific Partnership on American businesses and the American economy. For those of you who are new to our programming, Business Forward organizes local roundtables, Washington fly-ins, conference calls, webinars, and media trainings for tens of thousands of business leaders from across America. At these briefings, entrepreneurs, investors, small business owners, and executives get the chance to brief policymakers on issues affecting their businesses, how to create jobs, and how Washington can work with business to accelerate our economy. To date, more than 450 senior administration officials, members of Congress, governors, and mayors have participated in our programming. This is all thanks to the support of more than 50 of America's largest and most respected companies. Before we get started, I want to go over a few housekeeping items. First, this discussion is on the record and press may be present, as a recording of today's discussion will be emailed out after the call. Second, there will be time for you to ask questions and share your advice. You can do this in one of two ways. You can press 1 at any time to ask your question live, or you can email your question to info@businessfwd.org. We like to get in as many questions as we can, so you can, again, press 1 to ask your question live, or send your question via email to info@businessfwd.org, and we'll add it to the queue. Okay, now let's get started. Please welcome Ambassador Michael Froman, U.S. Trade Representative.
Thanks very much, Ami, and thank you to you and to Business Forward for all that you do to make these dialogues possible. Let me also thank all the small businesses on the phone for joining today's call. As we negotiated TPP, we very much had in mind small businesses and the critical role they play in creating jobs and growth across the country. And that's why, as we look at TPP, you'll see the number of things in there that are of particular interest to small businesses. So, for example, TPP cuts more than 18,000 taxes that other countries put on our exports. That means that if you're a small business that wants to export motorcycles, TPP will eliminate the 75% tax on those motorcycles going into Vietnam. Or if you're a microbrewery that wants to export its beer, TPP will eliminate the 35% tax that you face in exporting your product to some of the TPP countries. And similarly, if you're making and selling auto parts around the world, TPP will eliminate the 30% tax you face on those products going into countries like Malaysia. Secondly, TPP actually has the first trade agreement ever that has a dedicated chapter on small and medium-sized businesses that focuses on how those businesses will benefit from the trade agreement. And that's important because we know that 98% of the firms that export from the U.S. are small and medium-sized businesses, but fewer than 5% of all small and medium-sized businesses export. And most of those export to just one other country. So we see huge untapped potential in the small and medium-sized business sector to increase revenues and support more jobs by opening these markets for their exports to 95% of the world's consumers that live outside the United States. And then finally, TPP does something that every small business owner very much supports, and that means is cutting red tape. It does that at the border by making sure that customs procedures are more transparent and harmonized where possible. It does it by making regulations more generally more transparent. We know that 170,000 small and medium-sized businesses exported about $180 billion worth of goods to TPP countries back in 2013, and we feel like we could do even more if we can address these kinds of obstacles. Yesterday, we got an important report issued by the ITC. It's one data point among several reports that have been written about the agreement. And what its conservative estimate determined is that TPP will increase exports by $57 billion annually when it's fully implemented in 2032. And it'll increase real income in the U.S. by $57 billion a year compared to the what otherwise would have been the case without TPP. Those benefits are spread across virtually every sector of the economy, but the ITC report took care to mention in particular the benefits that small business will see, and focused on U.S. retailers and small businesses, and those who engage in e-commerce are likely to be among the most significant beneficiaries of the agreement. The report found that TPP will deliver increases in exports in sectors in the services area, everything from retail to communications, business services, also in the manufacturing sector, like apparel and footwear. And those benefits didn't even factor in the analysis of the impact of cutting red tape or the dedicated small business chapter. So there's even more benefit than has been captured in those numbers. As this report and others before it demonstrate, it's critically important that Congress get TPP done and get it done this year. One credible outside analysis suggests that even the delay of 1 year would cost the American economy $94 billion. That's about $700 for every American household. So I think the bottom line is clear that TPP creates great new opportunities, improvements in efficiency, reducing the cost to American small businesses. It could be the difference between American small businesses exporting or not, between hiring more workers or not, between paying those workers higher wages or not. So it's good for businesses, it's good for farmers, ranchers, and workers, and that's why it's so important to get done now. Maybe with that, Ami, I'm happy to open it up to questions.
Great. Thank you, Ambassador. Now we will open it up to your questions and comments. Again, if you have a question, please press 1 to speak live on the call, or you can email your question to info@businessfwd.org. And we actually have our first question. We're going to go live to, and this is from George Judd in Stafford, Virginia. George, your line's open.
Yes, good morning. Thank you so much for the rundown there. Again, my name is George Judd with CASC, and we're a small business that provides management consulting services here in the U.S. and abroad. We were fortunate to be able to actually testify regarding TPP with the U.S. International Trade Commission regarding the value of TPP to small businesses, specifically in the services sector. The final report obviously validated what we saw as value with the $43 billion lift, according to what was in the Wall Street Journal today. It's fantastic news, but with seemingly both parties opposed to TPP, yet pro-business and pro-small business, what can we do to help ensure that TPP actually becomes reality?
Well, thanks very much, George, and thank you for testifying before the ITC as well. You know, I think we are working right now with Congress. We're up there consulting and with the leadership, and we're up there talking to individual members and explaining what's in the agreement and how it benefits their constituents, and building the foundation of support so that when the time is right, there can be the necessary positive reaction in Congress. I think what you all can do, first of all, send us your stories. We'd love to hear about them. We'd love to hear about the challenges you faced exporting and how TPP will help address those challenges. And we're very much committed to trying to remove barriers that you may face, so we're interested in hearing about that too. I will say, as I talk to members of Congress, they are eager to know how is this going to help businesses in my district or businesses in my state. And having your voice out there, whether it's in op-eds or in town meetings or however you want to express yourself, I think can help contribute to this debate in a very positive way, making real for members of Congress the impact on the community, on your ability to expand production, to hire more workers, and as a result, your contribution to strengthening the community in which you operate. So getting your voices out there, telling your story, sending us your stories so that we can help amplify those as well, and letting us know where you have barriers, what it is we could do to try and address them through TPP or otherwise.
Great. Thank you, Ambassador. Our next caller question is going to call from coming from Andrew East in Jacksonville, Florida. Andrew, your line's open.
Hi, good afternoon, and thank you so much for taking the question. As a U.S. manufacturer, we're a Florida-based solar thermal manufacturer that has actually been operating and manufacturing here in the U.S. for the last 40 years, and with the primary objection, or one of the primary objections being the loss of American jobs with these type of trade agreements, has the administration considered coupling this with some type of tax reduction or tax credit for onshoring American manufacturing again?
Oh, well, thank you. Thanks for that question. You know, one of the interesting things about this report that came out yesterday is that it talks about how TPP, compared to what would exist without TPP, TPP will increase production, increase GDP, and increase jobs. And not only that, but that the bulk of the benefits of TPP, about two-thirds of the benefits of TPP, go to workers, both skilled and unskilled workers. So we view this very much as a trade agreement, and this was really the president's direction, is to make sure we were doing trade right, and that meant making sure that the trade agreement worked for American workers, and we think we've achieved that in this agreement. What we've done as well, when Trade Promotion Authority went through Congress last year, it was coupled with something called Trade Adjustment Assistance, which is a program that we got renewed for about 6 years. We got it expanded to cover both service and manufacturing workers and workers that are affected by globalization generally, not just trade agreements. And it helps workers who might be displaced by globalization to get new training for new types of jobs. And there's always more we could be doing in that area and something we're going to be continuing to work on. But I think the good news is on this trade agreement is that as not just the ITC, but the Peterson Institute and other institutes have looked at this agreement, they see this as an agreement that helps support more jobs in the U.S. and helps support workers by increasing wages as well.
Great, thank you. Our next question is coming from Joanne Webster in San Antonio, Texas. Joanne, your line's open.
Hi, I wanted to find out in the pharmaceutical industry for wholesale distributors, are there opportunities with the TPP?
Well, I think we'd have to sort of get a little more granularity about the kinds of obstacles you face, but certainly opening these markets to the export of our healthcare products, medical devices, pharmaceuticals. Part of it has been, you know, some countries have tariffs on medicines and medical devices, and this will eliminate those. We've got some provisions about transparency to make sure we understand how countries are making decisions about adding medical devices to their national healthcare programs. Opening up the market for services in these countries, including healthcare services, so there could be better distribution of imported medicines and medical devices in these countries. Those are all things that are covered by this agreement. And so dealing with those kinds of issues, as well as some of the restrictions that exist on distribution and warehousing in other countries, so that our exporters can get better access to the customers in these agreements, that may not be specific to the pharmaceutical or medical device industry, but should be a benefit to them as well.
Great. Thank you, Ambassador. Our next question was actually submitted online, and this comes from Greg Shields in Chicago, Illinois. The question is, for businesses to export, their products must be in compliance with national and regional codes. In the U.S., it's the UL. In Canada, it's CSA. In Europe, it's the CE and ATEX. In many cases, these codes conflict with each other enough that the products have to be redesigned and recertified for each market. For small companies, keeping up to date on certifications and changes is next to impossible, which limits our ability to export. How would TPP harmonize standards so that we accept each other's country's standards?
A great question. This is one of the biggest non-tariff barriers to trade and something that is very much part of our approach. What we call it is TBT, or technical barriers to trade. And in TPP, there are various requirements, for example, for countries to apply international standards like the Codex standards where they exist, but also to open up their standard setting processes, as we do here in the United States, to public notice and comment so that our businesses and our other stakeholders, whether it's consumer groups or otherwise, will be able to have an opportunity to provide comments to other countries as they develop standards. It's something that we do as a matter of course here. We think it's a best practice, and our TPP parties, our partners, were also agreed to do so as part of their implementation of these standards as well.
Great, thank you. Our next question is going to be asked by Michael Riddle in Sanford, North Carolina. Michael, your line is open.
Good morning. This is founder and CEO of ServiceElect Sales, LLC. What we do is we work with business-to-business client references in the field of remodeling and restoration, where our hopes is to train our own individuals that have been displaced in their life, that didn't have the right mentorship, and we mentor them into a two-year program, and we train them in the trades so that they can become gainfully employed, and also so that they can become business owners as well. And we are not a nonprofit, but we have, as the tax registry, we have elect ministries underneath our corporation so that the IRS knows that our donations go directly towards our training. And we have never sought funding or loans from anybody. And what we are trying to do now, we find ourselves, after being in business over 20 years, doing everything our own with no loans, no credit cards or anything, we're finding it very difficult to find the funding in order to purchase these dilapidated properties in different communities. And in order to restore them to become, to give our patrons and our customers the equal opportunity homeowners and employers. How would you recommend us going about seeking this funding, and what other certifications may we become part of in order to be successful?
Michael, this is Ami. Oh, sorry, Mr. Ambassador.
Head on.
Michael, we can follow up with you on some of the programs across the federal government about access to capital and some of the other training issues that you asked about after the call. So thank you very much for that call, and we'll sort of move on to our next question, which is a little more TPP focused, but thank you again for that call. Our next question was actually submitted online, and this is from Mark Bernstein in Menlo Park, California. And the question is, how does TPP impact the digital economy and e-commerce?
Thank you, Mark. It's a great question. One of the things we're most proud of TPP is that this is the first trade agreement to take on the issues of the digital economy. And so whether it's the free flow of data across borders or pushing against what we call digital protectionism, which is countries trying to put up walls around the internet or walls around the cloud that require companies to move out of the United States and move their operations to those countries in order to serve those markets. We've got prohibitions on imposing duties on digital products like apps. We've got a good, strong intellectual property rights protection, including around trade secrets, which has been very important to the technology community here. We think it's a very important part of this overall agreement. I think the ITC noted that this was an important part of TPP, but wasn't able to put a dollar value on it because it's something so new and doesn't really fit into their model terribly well. So in our view, this is one of the great plus-ups on top of what the ITC and others have estimated in terms of the benefits of TPP, particularly because, as I'm sure Mark knows, the U.S. is the leader in the digital economy. We've got some of the greatest world-class companies in this space, and we want to make sure that they can continue to grow and expand into this very important market. You know, the Asia-Pacific market is expected to grow to have three billion middle-class consumers by 2030, and a lot of those consumers are online, they're on their mobile phones, and they're looking to engage in activity that U.S. firms are particularly good at providing, again, whether it's apps or e-commerce or any number of other digital services. So this is an incredibly important part of the agreement. It's the one of the most innovative parts of the agreement, and we expect over time it to have one of the biggest impacts on the economic benefits for the U.S.
Great. Our next question will be asked live from Ricky Morris, Jr. in Houston, Texas. Ricky, your line is open.
No. Down, Mona. Hello?
Hello, Mr.
Hello?
Morris.
Yes, this is Ricky Morris here. I do appreciate you all for holding this conference and webinar, but surely enough, I just wanted to make sure that from what I'm hearing that in the dialogue that a lot of things are going to open up for small business owners. I want to see if some of the Trans-Pacific partnership, if that's going to be beneficial to us, having a little bit more flexibility when it comes to those small business loans being able to be released and not just presented to us.
Is your question, Ricky, about small business loans or opportunities to sell your products around the world?
Exactly. So we can be able to have capital to be able to maximize on our products and whatever we are actually transporting
to the global market.
I think the Trans-Pacific Partnership itself doesn't address capital itself, but one thing that we're doing as an administration, we've got a whole of government approach to the Trans-Pacific Partnership. So we work very closely with the Small Business Administration, with the Department of Commerce, with the Export-Import Bank, all of whom have programs for helping small businesses access foreign markets, including with regard to Small Business Administration and EXIM, they've got financing programs. So they offer loans and letters of credit and trade finance so that small businesses can get their product to market abroad. And I'm sure either through us or through AMI, we'd be happy to hook you up with the right people at those departments who might be able to help you access that kind of financing.
Absolutely. We'll follow up with Ricky right after this as well. Our next question was actually submitted online as well, and this is from Hank in Omaha, Nebraska. And the question is, how does a study like this one impact consideration of the agreement? What will members of Congress take away from this report?
I think it's a good question. I think this is an important next step in Congress's consideration of the agreement. This, as I mentioned, is one data point among others that I think members of Congress will look to, and we've already been up this morning meeting with members of Congress to go through the report and answer their questions and talk to them about it. You know, for some place like Nebraska, you know, this agreement talks about how pork exports are expected to increase by more than $200 million a year, beef exports by almost $900 million a year, dairy by $1.84 billion, and you know, we go on and on. I mean, soybeans, corn, lots of agricultural products stand to benefit from this agreement. And as we're up there, and very importantly, as members of Congress are hearing from their constituents and their stakeholders who are delving into the report and analyzing the impact on their sector, that will have a very positive effect.
Great, thank you.
In this very political environment, when we up on the Hill, what's been clear to us is that members of Congress fundamentally want to know how does this agreement affect my constituents or my stakeholders, and will they see a growth in their income, a growth in their ability to grow their businesses, and that's what matters to them most. And I think this report will be an important input into that analysis.
Thank you, Ambassador. Our next question is going to be asked live, and this is from Lori Ramos in Las Vegas, Nevada. Lori, your line's open.
Yes, hi. Thank you for allowing me to participate in this. Once again, my name is Lori Ramos. I am the CEO and founder of Atlas Risk, a commodities solutions business. I'm going to ask the question about capital again, but not having access to loans. Is that we're doing business in Asia, Australia, and what we're being asked to do is we're seeking capital, we're raising capital in those countries. And what we're being asked to do is to give up our rights under the U.S. to have our non-disclosures follow U.S. customs. One in particular is to fall under Australia. How will the TPP help us in this as far as what governing law?
We'd be happy to take a look at that. I'm not sure it addresses the use of non-disclosure agreements per se. I think. But we'd be happy to take a look at it and see if there is anything in TPP that we can use to try and help you out there. So, again, maybe through AMI or otherwise, you can let us know some more of the specifics of your issue, and we're happy to delve into it.
Yes, Ambassador, we will follow up directly with Lori as well. Next question was submitted online. This is from Shirley Davis in Huntsville, Alabama. Are there aspects of the TPP that the ITC report does not measure? And could you walk us through some of those aspects?
Sure. It's actually a really good question because all of the various reports that are out there, they each have a slightly different model, a slightly different approach. Some of them take a broader approach to the agreement, and some are more narrow or more conservative approach, and I'd say the ITC is probably in that latter category. The ITC goes through all of the chapters and it talks about what's in each of the chapters, but it recognizes that there are a lot of the chapters that sort of go beyond their largely tariff-based model, and so they haven't been able to put numbers to them, whether that's in areas like customs and trade facilitation or some of these standards issues that were talked about, including standards on agricultural products as well as on manufactured products. The whole chapter that, for the first time in any trade agreement, we've got disciplines on state-owned enterprises. These are these large government-owned companies in other countries that compete with our private firms, and now we have an ability to make sure that they do so on a level playing field. The ITC report doesn't really address that. It doesn't fully address the intellectual property rights issues like copyright or enforcing rights against counterfeiting. So there are a number of areas, and even on the labor and environmental chapters, which are very important here, raising standards in other countries, they don't quantify the benefits of that as well. I mentioned earlier that we've got a small business chapter for the first time in any trade agreement. There's no new quantitative assessment of that, as well as some of the other provisions. So those are just a handful of the chapters that are not fully quantified in the report. What it does do, it really focuses on tariffs, and then it does look at some of the services sectors, but much of the remainder of the agreement is not quantified in there.
Thank you, Ambassador. For our last question, it will be asked by Dr. Toby Malachi in Indianapolis, Indiana. Dr. Malachi, your line's open.
Thank you, Ami, and thank you, Mr. Ambassador. I'm Dr. Toby Malachi, founder and global chief executive of the Malachi Group Worldwide. Sir, I'd like to change the narrative just a little bit on TPP to the positive. Here in Indianapolis, Indiana, just about a week or so ago, we were bombarded with the presidential candidates, two in particular that turned our great city and state upside down, being anti-trade and anti-TPP. I'm an SME. I've had the great honor to go into the Union Hall, United Steelworkers, Local 199, and spoke with the union during what is Turn Our Town Upside Down on what Carrier Corporation did in displacing 1,400 workers, and blamed it on TPP and NAFTA. As an SME, it's great for us to go to Congress and to testify and to go to ITC and great work, and I applaud all the SMEs for taking time to do so. But I'd like to change the narrative that it appears, as Secretary Pritzker had said, we need to do a better job a narrative we have answered, me leaders, someone asked this question, and also corporations, again, to the public and to our communities, and tell them more about trade, because there seems to be a lack of information about TPP, that when you have presidential candidates coming to our towns and really start the hornet's nest, it really causes a lot of consternation. I'd like to for you, if you would, sir, my firm is heavily involved in foreign direct investment. We're currently exploring that with a client in Vietnam. So the dispute resolution chapter is important to us. So I want to thank you for the great work you're doing. My good friend, Dr. Christine Sevilla, thank her as well, and Ami. But if we could just change the narrative that it's good to have the warm and fuzzy stuff going to Congress and ITC, but out here in the trenches, we really have to change the narrative to make the people more aware that trade is not bad for America. As you said, sir, it allowed more SMEs to export, which means we'll be able to hire more people, more jobs, and, sir, we pay 18% higher salaries to our workers. So I wanted to thank you for that and any comments you may have behind that. I survived. It was a live town hall, sir, with WRTV Channel 6. By the TV news anchor ABC Rafael Sanchez here in Indianapolis. It aired just 2 days ago, and I've been both a positive target and a negative target here in Indianapolis on TPP. We hosted a Business Forum, the great work they're doing back here in January 21, and we're looking to host a Business Forum to come back to Indiana for the great work that Ami and his fine group is doing. So just a pat on the back, sir, but my question is we may need to kind of change the narrative a little bit, hone down. We had the representatives there from all elected officials there, parties, and I survived. I got out, got alive in one piece, but if we can just kind of talk a little bit about that, and how TP, as you said, will impact directly into our communities and not be turned upside down by a couple of presidential candidates that really does not have the heart in it.
Thank you, Dr. Maliki, and I really appreciate the feedback. And you're absolutely right. I mean, look, just take Indiana, and I happened to be up meeting with one of your members of Congress this morning. Indiana exports $34 billion a year. Exports support almost 225,000 jobs in Indiana, and there's more than 8,000 firms, the vast majority of which are small and medium-sized businesses, that export just from Indiana. And so Indiana is very much tied into the global economy and in a very positive way. I think in terms of the overall narrative, I think you put your finger on it. We can go through every sector in every state and talk about the benefits. And you know, yesterday's report is just the latest report among many that talks about how this is good for America. It's good for agriculture. It's good for services. It's positive on manufacturing. It's good for jobs. It's good for wages. I think even stepping back, you have to look at this agreement in the broader context, which is, in addition to all the economic benefits, if we're not out there writing the rules of the road for this critically important region, China will be. And they're out there now negotiating their own trade agreement, something called RCEP, and it doesn't have a chapter on small and medium-sized businesses. It doesn't deal with state-owned enterprises. It doesn't have strong intellectual property rights protections. It doesn't raise standards for labor and environmental protection in these countries. It doesn't make sure that the digital economy remains open and free. And that has got to be worse for American workers and farmers and ranchers and small businesses if they move forward with that and we don't move forward with TPP. So you've heard the president on this. You know, this is not a choice between the status quo in TPP. It's a choice between TPP and what the world is likely to look like if somebody else writes the rules of the road. And it's hard to put a quantitative value on that other than to say that for our businesses to benefit from the global economy, we need to be proactive and show leadership. And if we fail to show that leadership, that will have broad consequences for our economy and our strategic position in the region and in the world more generally. I think that's an important part of this debate that we need to make sure is out there.
Great. Thank you so much, Ambassador. That's all we have time for today. There are a number of questions and comments we did not get to. If you haven't yet, please email your question to info@businessfwd.org, and we will make sure to get back to you with an answer. Please check your email for post-event survey. We always seek to improve our programming and would appreciate your feedback. We hope you can join us next Monday, this coming Monday, for a conversation with AOL co-founder Steve Case about his new book, The Third Wave, An Entrepreneur's Vision for the Future. And on next Thursday, we'll be talking with the U.S. Surgeon General, Vice Admiral Vivek Murthy, on the administration's response to Zika. Please check your email or business or our website, businessfwd.org, for details. Again, a special thank you to you, Ambassador Froman, for joining us today, and to everyone who joined on this call. We hope you have a great day and a great weekend.